Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Hey, Kevin Wall here. I'm happy to inform you there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you choose your doctor and hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family, that's mom, dad, and all kids. This is the way healthcare should be. For information, call 855-585-4237. That's 855-585-4237. Or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org. And regain control over your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press. A show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out! Number three! Time is running out! Number four!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It's Live and Local now for a gloomy Thursday. Man, I'll tell you, it was great sleeping weather, though, here in southern Nevada. It rained all night long. All night long. I got to tell you, it was absolutely amazing getting to sleep last night and listening to it rain. And then, believe it or not, you wake up and the traffic was just absolutely gnarly. I left like 15 minutes early. I got to the office 10 minutes late. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. As you all know, and we've been talking about it, you get out of the midterm elections, and one of the things that you do, you take that collective sigh of relief. Oh my God. No more political ads. I'm so excited. And then you realize, there's another election right behind it. Municipal elections are still to come. And we're going to be talking about the candidates and the folks that are going to be involved in this. One of them is Amy Emanuel, a candidate for Las Vegas City Council Ward 1. She is with us. She slopped through the rain, and she is with us in studio. Amy, thanks so much for joining us. You made it!
Thank you, Kevin.
You thought you weren't going to make it. You thought you were going to be late, right? Nah.
It's the navigation. Got to blame it on the navigation.
It's all about GPS. It's all about GPS. I'm going to ask you the question I ask every person who has sat in that chair and is running for office. It costs money. It costs time. You're away from your friends and your family, and you're walking neighborhoods, and you're doing stuff like that. Why are you running in Ward 1?
I've lived in Ward 1 for 13 years, and I care about my community. I have three children under the age of 10, and I care about pedestrian safety. I care about how they will be raised, how effectively our police enforcement will be to keep them safe, and that's why I'm running, because I care and I felt a call to action.
And you have, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been a part of this process. You've watched this process. You've had a ringside seat, mm-hmm. because you've been involved at the community level on so many of these issues. Talk a little bit about a couple of the issues that you've been involved with the city council.
I have worked with Lois Tarkanian over the last decade to have crosswalks installed flashing beacons, worked with her on some park initiatives to improve our parks, and supported an initiative she had for a paddleball court. So I feel that my experience, along with my background in commercial real estate, is a natural transition into city council.
Can you talk a little bit about property rights? Because I know that has become a huge issue just in the last 5-10 years. Can you talk a little bit about your involvement with the city council on that front?
Sure. I think I see it, and I'm sure all the residents of Clark County see how littered our vacant lots are around town with political signage. And it's distracting to drivers. It looks cluttered. It makes our city look unsightly. And just so you know, all of my political signs that I have installed on our streets have received ownership approval. So I was curious one day, Kevin, I started making some phone calls to owners of private vacant lots and asked if they received any phone calls from my opponents to have signs installed and staked in their land. And not one single person has received a phone call. So I feel that that's a real big problem. And there are sign ordinances that need to be enforced. And I wanted to bring that up first and foremost, because I feel that there needs to be a change in how we campaign.
I wanted to get to that because I've heard that complaint from other members of the city council, from folks who have run for city council before, and that we need to fundamentally change the way we do campaigns in city government. Can you talk a little bit about some of your ideas on how we can change that?
Well, I think first and foremost, the rights of the property owners should be considered, and there needs to be some sort of agreement or documentation to say that, yes, you can use my land for your advertising purpose, and continue that conversation.
Let me ask you, though, as far as the way we run our campaigns, and the property rights thing, I think, is because I know people who have just discovered. They wake up one morning and they got signs in their yard.
Right.
And I'm probably like you.
Yes.
That we've had candidates and friends that said, hey, I'm running for this, I'm running for that. Is it okay if I put a yard sign? Yeah, sure.
Yes. And I think that needs to go to the commercial property owners as well, because you wouldn't stake a sign in somebody's front yard without them asking or without receiving permission. And you have to take consideration into other sort of property owners as well. And they don't want that littered in their on their land.
Amy Emanuel joining us. She's running for Ward 1 City Council, and we're talking about the way campaigns are run relative to city government. I want to ask you, though, because, I mean, all of us, I think, have wandered across that channel on cable where you see the public comment and you see the mayor and you see the council and or the planning commission, whatever it is. And they're there and they're taking questions and people are making speeches. And it's mind numbing sometimes. Mm-hmm. Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for 4 or 6 hours of public comment?
I am. I've worked with tenants and landlords over the last decade, and I understand concerns. I understand, you know, the deliberation of having to solve a problem, and I'm a problem solver. So I am prepared, and I, like I said, with my background with the commercial property management, I understand what it is to budget. I understand financial reporting. I understand negotiations and compromise and hearing both sides of the story.
Amy Emanuel joining us. She's running for city council, Ward 1 here in Las Vegas on a rainy, droopy Thursday. What we're going to talk about next is something that has been in the news, and that is development. The interests of development versus the interests of we want to make our city a livable city and all of that. We'll talk about that. Amy Emanuel in studio, smart enough to come in out of the rain. That's one reason to vote for just off the bat. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
Only revealing the issues regarding Badlands Golf Course, that he would work with all parties to solve the issues once and for all. That promise was empty. All he has done since his election is delay and obstruct any attempts toward a solution. Though the owners of the property are willing to meet anytime, anywhere to discuss the issue, Councilman Soroka has met with them once. Doesn't sound like someone who is working toward a solution. His refusal to resolve the matter not only leaves a huge undeveloped area in the middle of the district, but has left the taxpayers on the hook for possible endless legal bills and huge damage awards, while killing the opportunity for hundreds of jobs and millions in economic activity in the process. Enough is enough. It's time to put an end to this once and for all and recall Steve Soroka and elect someone who will solve problems and not compound them. To learn more about the issue and how you can be involved, please visit StopSoroka.com. StopSoroka.com. This ad was paid for by the committee to recall Councilman Steve Soroka.
This year, make Valentine's Day extra special at Rhythm Kitchen. Hey, Kevin Wall here. At Rhythm Kitchen, you get to choose how you want to celebrate. Their dining room and cocktail lounge will be serving a full menu beginning at 5:30. Or dine in their elegant grand ballroom with a four-course meal that you'll not soon forget. You'll enjoy lump blue crab cakes, Caesar salad, surf and turf featuring a petite filet and lobster, a tasty Valentine's Day dessert, plus a commemorative bottle of champagne. You'll enjoy an incredible meal with breathtaking views of the Las Vegas Strip, all for just $175 per couple. Seating is limited, so call for reservations at 702-767-8438. That's 702-767-8438. Or check out this amazing Valentine's Day package at RhythmKitchenSeafoodAndSteaks.com. Rhythm Kitchen Seafood and Steaks, conveniently located on South Decatur, just off the 215, 702-767-8438.
Hello, this is Nathan Taylor, President and CEO of the Taylor Consulting Group. Have you been wanting to start a business but just can't seem to find the time to go through the mountains of paperwork the government requires? Are you just overwhelmed by the bureaucracy and the burdensome regulations? Well, fear no more, because the Taylor Consulting Group is your one-stop shop for all your business consulting needs. Whether it's starting a restaurant, a tavern, or a cafe, our knowledgeable staff will guide you through the licensing process. We specialize in gaming licenses, liquor licenses, and land use consulting. Don't wait any longer to make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Contact the Taylor Consulting Group today at 702-483-7045. That's 702-483-7045. 702-483-7045. Or visit our website at thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. That's thetaylorconsultinggroup.com. At the Taylor Consulting Group, your success is our business.
For many, open enrollment 2019 closed on December 15th. Not if you're self-employed or an independent contractor. You have plenty of time to enroll. In fact, you can enroll up until February 28th for a March 1st effective date. Anyone who's paid on a 1099, has had a Nevada business license for at least 6 months, or is a member of the Real Estate Association, GLVAR, has the opportunity to enroll into better coverage for lower premiums. For more information, call Patrick Casale of the MultiCare Group, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449. The opportunity to buy better plans is now a reality. Lower deductibles, better premiums with national access networks is now an option. Call me, Patrick Casale, at the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449. That's 702-396-9449, and find out the options do exist. For more information, check out my website, The MultiCare Group. That's themulticaregroup.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's Live and Local Now. Kevin Wall with you. Amy Emanuel, candidate for Las Vegas City Council in Ward 1, joining us. And Ward 1, correct me if I'm wrong, that's the Lois Tarkanian seat?
That's correct.
And boy, she's done a great job, hasn't she?
Yes.
I love her. I love her to death.
I think she's a wonderful woman.
I see her at Danny's all the time, Super Bowl parties and different things, and she's so sweet. Gotta just love her. I want to ask you, though, because this is a debate that goes on. And by the way, you're one of three Republicans in the
race.
It's a nonpartisan election. Would you rather have it where everybody identifies themselves, D's, R's, I's, whatever?
I prefer not, because I feel that I don't want to be classified and viewed as these are your positions. It's more about the community and the impact on our residents of our community, and I want to bring them into the conversation. It's a public-private initiative that we need to do together. So I am happy that it is a nonpartisan debate.
This is a debate that's been going on for as long as I can remember in this town, and that is the push-pull politically of folks who want to continue to develop and those who don't want the developers to get the upper hand, that, that feel like we're being pushed around by developers. We're seeing that now at Badlands. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to come up on the campaign trail, so I'll ask you, mm-hmm. where are you on this Queens Ridge Badlands golf course deal? Do you side with the developer? Do you side with the property owner?
I understand both sides of the story. I understand, you know, these residents that built their homes around a golf course that, you know, wasn't sustainable. I understand their concerns, and I understand the concerns of the developer. I know that the taxpayers would choose not to have their money tied up in legal fees, and it's
and we're talking
mounting
millions. We're
and
talking
mounting
millions,
and
right?
mounting. Correct.
Yeah.
And you know, we need to take a look at it from the residents and developer standpoint. You know, I know we've had lots of round and round meetings about this, but we do need to take a look at what the impact would be on the infrastructure, on our streets, on our traffic, on our schooling, and make sure that whatever the compromise is, it is an acceptable, positive shift for all the residents in that area.
But we've had, going on years now, of conversation. We've had a dialogue, a community dialogue, and it still comes down to the rights of that property owner to do what they want with their property.
Correct.
And these other owners in the area, the Queens Ridge owners, who know in their documentation that there is a thing saying this isn't going to be a golf course mm-hmm. forever.
Right.
Is there a middle ground? Is there a compromise? Because the problem is I don't see a compromise anywhere. Everybody is pretty much stuck on their side of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a middle ground?
I feel that there is a middle ground, and it involves, you know, listening to the homeowners and figuring out how it can be landscaped, how it can be improved, where their visibility is, you know, a beautiful site versus looking into somebody's condo. There are ways to develop the land that will be a beautiful vision for both sides.
Let me ask you, and this is an issue that comes up. Should I be a supporter of the developers? And I'm not just talking about Queens Ridge. I'm talking about mm-hmm. in general, that we all want our city to move forward. We all want our city to share in the prosperity that's out there and available to
mm-hmm.
us. Do you side with developers normally? Do you side with the people? Do you side with homeowners, property owners, that kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
When people say, well, is Amy Emanuel for us or the developers, where do you come down on that issue?
Right. I want conscious, smart, positive growth. And I think and I know that can be accomplished with town hall meetings with developers and their constituents. I know that can happen. And I want, if I am elected, my door would always be open for conversations. My phone will always be picked up. I feel that this is a community effort in deciding and sharing in the thought process and the growth process of our city.
I want to ask you, and it's kind of a glop-all question, but I think it's really important. Communities have master plans.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we have a master plan, and I just didn't know about it. But I want to ask you, I mean, Mayor Goodman has talked about how wonderful you know, the economy is in the city and jobs are being created, blah, 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 blah. But I want to ask you what that next step, what is that next chapter in the city of Las Vegas? Which direction is it going to head? We still have a lot of land that is undeveloped.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your vision of what this next chapter in the city of Las Vegas is going to be.
I think the next chapter will be a lot of redevelopment, enhancing old buildings, developing more housing, and but in consciousness to the impact of the surrounding community. I for one, feel that pedestrian safety needs to be addressed, and our roads need to be better, our sidewalks need to be better, our crosswalks, our bus stops. I live in Ward 1, and I notice that the stoplights are getting more backed up. You know, the left turn lane on Sahara from Buffalo is backed up to O'Bannon. So people are going to start driving down O'Bannon at 50 miles an hour where there's unfinished sidewalks where our children walk to school. It's unacceptable. And I feel that that's that, along with, you know, our redevelopment of our older areas of town, is a high priority for me because I want our kids to be safe. I want our communities to be safe.
I want to ask you a question. I've only got about 90 seconds, so if you can be succinct, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. The homelessness problem continues to grow. It's not getting better, I don't think, or at least it's becoming more visible to the rest of us. What is the answer to homelessness in the city of Las Vegas?
I'm glad that you gave me 90 seconds to answer that. There's around 6,000 homeless in our city, in our county, and it isn't just a government problem. It is shared with our community partners, our fire department, our police department, our charity organizations, and it needs to be basically a triage approach of finding, you know, why are these people homeless, and what direction do we need to lead them to get their mental health that they need, or their substance abuse rehabilitation, and then getting them to a point where they have vocational training to be able to then move to affordable housing to be able to be a productive member of our community. So, and if that's 90 seconds,
that's 60 seconds. That's 60 seconds, but it's a pretty good 60 seconds.
Okay.
If folks want to help your campaign, I don't know what you need at this point. You need money, you need yard signs, whatever, but please ask before you put the yard signs in.
Yes, correct.
Where can they go? Where can they find you?
Please check out my website. It's amyemmanuel.com, and I just want to spread the word. I don't need more street signs. I don't need more yard signs. I don't need cash. I just want you to spread the word. So thank you very much for having me, Kevin.
That is a first. That is a first in about 4 years of doing this show and 4 years over at CBS. A candidate who came in and said, I don't need more money. Whoa, because normally they come in with their hand out saying, we need more money. Hey, Amy, thank you so much for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Thank
good luck.
Thank you, Kevin.
We'll have you on again. Amy Emmanuel, good person. Ward 1, running for city council. Stick around. More to do as we continue. I've got a message for Michael McDonald, chair of the Nevada Republican Party. It's a good message, too, by the way. Be listening. It's coming up right after the break. I'm Kevin Wall. The program, live and local, now. Senator Sarno, it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortune in wrong. Some folks are born, silver spoon in hand. Y'all don't to help themselves, y'all. But when the tax man comes to the door, y'all the house look like a rum and sand.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now. Great radio stations in Reno and Sparks and Carson City, KNNR, AM 1400 in Ely, 1230 AM, KELY. We're on in Battle Mountain, KNNT, 98.5 FM. We're on 101.1 FM in Amargosa Valley. We're on in Hawthorne. We're on in Pahrump. We are everywhere. I absolutely love it. Let's get to your phone calls. A lot of you holding very patiently. We thank you for that. On a rainy, soupy-looking Thursday. And by the way, for those of you expecting Wayne Allen Root, he will not be on with us. He's on another assignment this week and will not be on with us today. But he'll be back next week, of course. Tell you what, let's go to your phone call. Stas, you're up and you're on Live and Local Now. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, I've got a proposed solution for the Badlands issue. I live in Green Valley Country Club Estates, and we have Wild Horse Golf Course over there. There's a development about to take place where they were going to do the same thing, build condos. So the HOA got with the city of Henderson, and I believe the developer was Billy Walters. We all had a meeting, and the resolution was that the city purchased the golf course and made it a municipal golf course. So the homes that are on the golf course, they don't have the best golf course in town, but they still have a golf course. And they traded and gave Billy Walters and his group the Whitney Mesa property to build over there. So it's a combination of the HOA or the homeowners, the developer, and the city all getting together, and they can make a win-win-win.
Well, now here's the problem with it. Both sides, I mean, this is the age-old issue that any agreement can be amended with the approval of both parties. The problem is, I don't know, the owner wants to do something with his property. Should he be denied that right or what?
No, he has that right, but if you give him a better piece of property and you involve the city in the transaction, then the city takes over the golf course and makes it municipal. Everybody gets what they want. The property owner needs to wind up with a better deal than he currently has, and the city has the wherewithal to do that.
Now, let me ask you, a municipal golf course, is that what Queens Ridge owners want, or do they want some, you know, hoity-toity, you know, big-time TPC golf course? Or is a municipal course, would that be enough?
Well, I mean, that goes back to your earlier question. That property owner has a right to do with what he wants to do with his property. So the homeowners are going to have to compromise. And no, they're not going to have a world-class golf course, but they are going to have a golf course. And it just doesn't get any better than that. But otherwise, you wind up in court. You know, there's only two reasons to be in court. One, the person you're dealing with is completely unreasonable and won't compromise. Or two, you're insane.
Ah, there you go. We could do a putt-putt. And that would be a golf course. There you go. Hey, Stas, a good suggestion. I'm not trying to poo-poo your suggestion. But a municipal golf course, I don't think, is what the owners of those properties in Queens Ridge and Badlands, I don't think that's what they were envisioning. Hate to say it, but I just don't think it is. Okay, I promised we would have a special message for Michael McDonald, chair of the Nevada Republican Party, and a guy who is spearheading an effort to put the voter ID on the ballot in 2020 and 2022 and actually add it to our Constitution. So it'd be essentially a constitutional initiative. And we'd get to vote on it. I love the idea. The whole notion, the whole opposition to voter ID has always been, oh, it's voter suppression. I want you to listen to Tucker Carlson. He was on with Harmeet Dhillon, a so-called expert, and talking about some new research that is out on voter ID that it is not voter suppression. This is cut 7. Here we go.
Two university professors took a look at voting patterns in 10 different states. And they found that voter ID laws had no effect at all on how much each group was able to vote. It turns out that legal voters are perfectly able to get photo identification, something you knew already, and that these laws are only a problem if you want to vote illegally. But helping people to vote illegally is, of course, the entire point of preventing voter ID laws, as we knew. Harmeet Dhillon is an attorney who covers this kind of thing, and she joins us tonight. Harmeet, so it seems like the evidence is pretty clear on this from this study.
Yes, actually, Tucker, these two economics professors, one at Harvard Business School and the other in the University of Bologna, used data from a liberal progressive database called Catalyst, which works with progressive groups on these issues. And they examined 1.3 billion different data points. And they had data on gender, race, sex, gender, and political affiliation. And they were able to compare the states that had the strong voter ID laws, the 10 of them, against the ones that don't. And there was statistically no difference whatsoever. And so that really rebuts the left's mythology that voter ID laws are directed at suppressing particularly the minority vote, et cetera, on the theory that elderly or minority or poor people are unable to get ID. I mean, you and I know that you can't operate in society today without ID, and we need it for so many reasons. So
well,
I think this is really encouraging data.
Yeah, you can't have a job, you can't fly on an airplane, you can't cash a check, you can't get government benefits, you can't do anything. So it was prima facie absurd, but they still wax self-righteous about it. And any attempt to prevent voter fraud is suppression, and you're Bull Connor.
Okay, so to the Plan Nevada, to the SEIU, to all of these special interest groups, to Tom Steyer, to George Soros, to others, can we finally lay to rest this notion that voter ID? I mean, when I go and I look at an apartment or I fly on an airplane, any of these things, I have to provide a photo ID. And the fact that you have to provide a photo ID is not in and of itself voter suppression, is it? So Michael McDonald, you've got all the ammunition you need now to conduct a campaign. You got two different studies, two different college professors in opposite ends of the world, and all coming up with the same notion. And that is essentially, it doesn't matter. The only people it will keep out are illegals. Unless you don't want illegals eliminated from the voter pool, unless you want these people to vote, do we need any further evidence or is the case closed? I'm going to open up our phone lines right now. 844, the number 2 Nevada. That's 844-263-8232. I'm going to replay that maybe a couple of three times. Because that, to me, that's the final nail in the coffin. By the way, speaking of coffins, a guy that is out there right now. In fact, let's go to cut 5. He is 70 years old. He's in solitary confinement. He is Paul Manafort, the former chair of the, and not for a long time, by the way, just like 6 months or something like that. He was the chair of the election campaign for the president. But Jeffrey Toobin, yesterday a federal judge said the guy lied 3 times out of 5. It might be the guy's just a congenital liar. I mean, that's a possibility here, folks. I mean, I always regarded him as kind of a slippery guy. But on CNN yesterday, Jeffrey Toobin said that Paul Manafort lied 3 times out of 5 to the FBI. And that court ruling will go into his sentencing. He will be there until he dies. We're going to go to cut number 5. And this is Jeffrey Toobin, the CNN legal eagle. And his view is, very simply put, that this ruling by a federal judge yesterday may be the final nail in the coffin of Paul Manafort. Listen to this.
I saw Paul Manafort in court the other day. This is a man who looks like he's dying. He is walking with a cane. He looks disoriented. He has declined so precipitously in prison that when you realize he has now lost his cooperation agreement and the chance for a lower sentence, and he's facing an entirely separate prison sentence in the Virginia case, a 70-year-old man is looking like he may die in prison, and it is just a profound thing to think about.
We're showing video, but that's probably older.
No, this is how we remember him,
right.
as you know, and this is how he became a public figure during this investigation.
Right.
He is almost unrecognizable
really?
Today
from this video.
Almost unrecognizable. You know, he's got gout. He's walking with a cane. Apparently, he's using a wheelchair a lot of the time. Prison is rough for anybody, and you know, yes, he did wrong, and he did wrong over and over again. But I mean, this man is really, really in danger of losing his life.
That's kind of sad. And I realize prison is no country club, but this is a guy that right now is 23 hours a day is in solitary confinement. Yikes. Anyway, stick around. More to do as we continue. It is a murky Thursday, and it's still raining here in Southern Nevada down by McCarran International Airport. We are right across the street from McCarran. We watch the planes fly in, fly out. I haven't seen much going in or going out of McCarran International Airport. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few months ago, a friend invited me for a Tuesday evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes, but boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's has been there for 31 years and family-owned for 19 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. As they say at Ichabod's, we manage with generosity. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including steaks, seafood, burgers, pasta, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen's open 24 hours for you late-night foodies. And I just love Ichabod's old-school Vegas atmosphere. When everybody else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. Check out their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar from 6:30 to 10:30. You want to win? You want to have fun? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and I ran for governor in 2018. As the owner of Las Vegas Cyclery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. For this Christmas, Las Vegas Cyclery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid mountain bikes, and gift cards. We also have a wide variety of the latest e-bikes, which allows anyone to ride a bike, especially for those who want to ride a bike again but have some limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. And for those of you who are interested in a more extended outdoor experience, visit escapeadventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Escapeadventures.com.
I'm Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy. In 2017, the state's only funded educational choice program was given an extra $20 million to help low-income kids find better schools. Now Governor Sisolak says he doesn't want to keep that funding in the budget. His plan to slash the program could mean nearly 1,000 low-income students are going to lose their scholarships and be forced back into schools that didn't work for them in the first place. In 2017, the Nevada Teachers Union promised they would roll this program back or even eliminate it. Unless parents start pressuring their lawmakers today, it looks like the union might just have their way. That's why it's more important than ever for parents to let the governor and the legislature know that improving education should mean helping kids get in the classrooms where they can truly succeed. not taking away the very scholarships that make it possible. Your voice, your phone call could be what makes a difference. So visit NevadaPolicy.org, sign up for our emails, and you can get involved this legislative session on this issue and all the other issues we're keeping a close eye on in 2019. I am Michael Schaus, Communications Director for Nevada Policy.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Light your liberty. Starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To find out how you can save, go to LightYourLiberty.com. That's LightYourLiberty.com.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
You just love it. On a droopy Thursday, Tommy White's going to join us. Can I be honest with you? If you had told me a year ago that we'd have one of the leading labor union leaders in this community on this show, not once, not twice, but three times, I would have told you you were nuts. I mean, that's unbelievable. Today, kind of a somber note. It is the one-year anniversary of the Parkland, Florida killings. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. And if you recall, by the way, nothing major has come of it. There's been no major gun legislation other than the stuff that they're talking about in Carson City, SB 143, which looks like it's moving towards passage, which, by the way, will not make any of us safer. Bad people will still get guns, hate to tell you. But one of the leading voices to come out of it, no, not David Hogg. I'm talking about Cameron Caskey. Remember Cameron Caskey? There was a CNN town hall just days after the slaughter in Parkland, Florida. And Cameron Caskey is or was a student. And I want you to listen to what transpired between Cameron Caskey and a major member of the United States Senate, Marco Rubio. And I want you to hear him 1 year after 17 students and teachers lost their lives in Parkland, Florida. Here it is.
Senator Rubio, can you tell me right now that you will not accept a single donation from the NRA in the future?
So, number one, the positions I hold on these issues of the Second Amendment, I've held since the day I entered office in the city of West Miami as an elected official. Number two, no, the answer to the question is that people buy into my agenda. And I do support the Second Amendment, and I also support the right of you and everyone here to be able to go to school and be safe. And I do support any law that would keep guns out of the hands of a deranged killer. And that's why I support the things that I have stood for.
In the name of 17 people, you cannot ask the NRA to keep their money out of your campaign?
I think in the name of 17 people, I can pledge to you that I will support any law that will prevent a killer like this.
No, but I'm talking NRA money.
No.
Joining me now is that student, Cameron Caskey. Cameron, thanks so much for being with us. I'm wondering just what's going through your mind. I mean, as the first anniversary of what happened in Parkland approaches tomorrow.
You know, it's been such a surreal time for us. But recently I was thinking about how people think about Parkland. And I was thinking about kind of the public image of the city. And it's really nice to know that Parkland is looked at as a city where people, even in the face of the worst possible tragedy, stood up and stood for something that was larger themselves, whether it be school safety or gun violence prevention. We took what could have been the worst thing in the what was the worst thing in the world for us. And instead of hiding away, we stood up and showed that Parkland as a city and this community and these families who lost their children and siblings were stronger than anyone who could try and hurt us. So while the shooter went into the school that day trying to ruin the world and trying to knock everybody down, everybody was really able to come together and show that we're better than that.
I mean, obviously, you've been a very strong advocate over the last year for tougher gun control legislation. On balance, do you believe progress has been made?
Well, I mean, just moments ago, H.R. 8 passed, which is the bipartisan background check bill, and that's the first gun violence prevention bill that's been passed from House Judiciary in decades, and that's just one of the many steps that's been taken. Today, Governor DeSantis announced that there would be a grand jury investigating the school board in Broward County, which I know was such a great victory for a lot of the parents because there's been so much corruption on a local level here. So while, again, we're coming up on the one-year anniversary of such a horrible, horrific thing that took 17 of our best people, we're really seeing a lot of reasons to look to the future and see hope.
Now the question is, are the kids at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, are they any safer today, you think? Could somebody walk in there today and do the same thing the guy did a year ago today? I'm not sure if we are any safer. The same way I would ask the members of the assembly who are now dealing with SB 143, which is, I am told, and again, I haven't seen it, very similar to question one. But yet, I'm not sure we are any safer today, tomorrow when they pass it. I'm not sure that we are any safer. We'll find out. And by the way, SB 143 will pass. And it may pass today. I mean, they are steamrolling this thing right through. You had Governor Sisolak testify, you had others. But you also had a lot of people on the other side from the NRA. From Nevada Firearms Coalition and other organizations and folks that listen to this show that came down to Grant Sawyer and to the legislative building in Carson. And they essentially all said the same thing. Talking about people on our side of this issue, that this will not fix gun violence. You got mental health issues. You got a whole bunch of stuff that is out there. Coming up, there is a recall effort out there. They're trying to recall City Councilman Steve Soroka. Tommy White is the business manager for Laborers Union 872. He's going to join us. He had enough sense to come in out of the rain. We've got a lot of people that have had enough sense to come in out of the rain. Notice nobody wants to do a phone interview today. No, I'll come in. I'll come in out of the rain. He's going to be here. And again, a year ago, if you'd said, hey, we're going to have a major labor leader coming in studio with me, Mr. Conservative, it'll never happen, they said. I even thought that too. But Tommy White's a different kind of labor leader. We'll talk with him. About life in Laborers 872, all that and more coming up, live and local now. Hot air ballooning. Over the decades, many of you have enjoyed the freedom of flight, floating high above the Las Vegas Valley, overlooking the beauty and diversity of our great city. But one segment of our society has been denied that opportunity. Wounded warriors, seniors, children with disabilities, in fact, anyone who's mobility challenged or might have trouble coming aboard. But all that has changed. Hey, Kevin Wall here, chairman of the board of Chariot of Fire Ballooning, a new 501c3 nonprofit. Our mission is to provide free or subsidized flights for those who can't afford it on one of a handful of hot air balloons in the world that are wheelchair accessible. Unlike other hot air balloons where you have to climb up and over into the basket, Chariot of Fire features a basket with a ramp so that everyone can come aboard with ease and with dignity. But I need your help. If you'd like to help wounded warriors and others in our community who are mobility challenged to live out their dream of flight, check out chariotoffireballooning.org. Your donation is tax deductible. That's chariotoffireballooning.org. And thank you in advance.